that I may dwell among them. A sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Does God need a dwelling place? No, certainly not. So why build me a sanctuary? Does he live in houses of stone and wood? No. So why build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them? It was for the people's benefit, not for God's benefit. It was for their benefit so that they might understand God's presence at all times, so that they might understand that God was watching over them at all times, so that God was just right there. Now, in the New Testament, after Jesus died for us and was resurrected again, now God dwells within us and is right there all the time. But I'm of a firm belief that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. There is the greatness and the power of God in the midst of his people coming together. Don't ever do away and don't ever make light of this assembly, the assembling of ourselves together, local church. There's nothing magical about it. There's nothing that we can conjure up. It's not that at all. But the Lord gave us a promise. If you will gather together to worship me, I will be in the midst of you. Well, wait a minute. For our benefit. But wait, I'm born again. My body's a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Sure is. And God's with you wherever you are and wherever you go. But he has a special presence and a special power when we purposefully come together to worship him. That's the way he designed it. And so, you know, you assemble together to worship the Lord. You assemble together to be in his holy presence. And man, I've had some great times with the Lord by myself on the mountain. But I've had greater times in the midst of his people where he promised, I will be there. Not just being there like I am inside of you, but being there in power and authority supernaturally. I've sensed the presence of God, and it's overwhelming sometimes. But oh, how great, how thrilling. The body has been empowered by his presence to do things that we could not do alone. And that's what it's all about. Let them make me a sanctuary. The word sanctuary means a hallowed place, a holy place, a hallowed, a dedicated place that I may dwell among them. It was there to be a constant witness of his presence among his people. A constant witness of his presence. Those Hebrew people could look around in the desert and they could see that that sun scorching that desert was not scorching them because there was a cloud between them and the sun. And the cloud was like a funnel. And it came down smaller and smaller until it rested in the Holy of Holies over the Ark of the Covenant in that tent, that tabernacle in the wilderness. It was a constant reminder. At night, it was a pillar of fire that illuminated the desert so they could see no enemies, they could see no predators, they could see no danger, and they felt comfort and peace in the presence of Almighty God. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for your glory and the many times that we fellowshiped with you. We pray tonight that you would make yourself known among us and manifest your glory to us individually, Lord. Manifest yourself. May we recognize that you love us unconditionally. You've forgiven our sin. You want to have fellowship with us. You want us to want to be in your presence. And I pray tonight that you'd grant those things. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I simply talk about tonight briefly his presence. His presence. I've told you repeatedly that there are times when I have in the past made calls upon people who were suffering or afflicted or with some kind of disease or something going on in their life and not know exactly what to pray for or what to ask God for them. And in that process, what I have done is simply pray God's presence upon them. There's nothing that brings us greater joy than to sense the very person of God among us, and His presence, His power, and His great abilities. You want to know what to pray for me? Pray God's presence upon me. What do I pray for you? God's presence upon you. God's protection, God's guidance, God's illuminating power. What does that mean? It means understanding, wisdom. I've coined a phrase out of the book of Proverbs from a verse of Scripture. I don't even remember which verse it was. But I've told my boys repeatedly, power is knowledge. I mean, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Repeatedly, knowledge is power. You want to be a more than an average individual, knowledge is power. Invest within yourself. Train yourself. Teach. Learn everything you can. Knowledge is power. Well, that's what God said through Proverbs, what Solomon said again and again. But knowledge alone is not sufficient. We need wisdom to understand how to use the knowledge that we have. And a lot of bookworms and a lot of great minds, but they have no common sense whatsoever, which would be equated to the wisdom of God in their life. And we need both knowledge and wisdom. But let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Why? Because God wants to dwell among us. Just think about it. The book of Revelation says that there will be no temple there because God will be the temple in the eternal life. That He will be the sun, S-U-N, not, we won't need the sun, we won't need the moon, won't need the light. God is the light that we need and surrounding us in eternity. What a wonderful thing. But we shall dwell with Him, and He shall be our God. We shall be His people forever and forever and ever. I want to talk about His presence, a few things. Number one, I want you to think about the rest, R-E-S-T, the rest of His presence. How we have rest in His presence. I know people who look for relief or rest in bottles of pills or in creams or salves or in doctors or trying to get away. We'll get away. That'll be our, we can rest if we get away. And they get away and they fail to turn off their cell phone and it rings constantly and everybody's asking questions and bugging them. And now they can't enjoy where they've gotten away to because they're worried about everything they left behind. Hello? Rest of His presence. Exodus chapter 33 in verse number 14. Exodus 33 and verse 14. I want you to see it. Actually, if you'll back up, Moses says in verse 13, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight," Moses says, "show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, God said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carriest up not hence. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." I have the opinion that in the presence of Almighty God, there is a rest for the soul that we cannot find anywhere else. In the presence of the Lord. I like to go to church. I like to go hear preachers preach. I like to have a good message that touches my heart or the need. But I don't come out and say, "Well, this guy's good, this guy's bad." You know, I say, "Lord, what do you have for me today? Speak to me. Show me. Guide me. Give me what I have need of." And somewhere along the way, that whole message may not be for me, but somewhere along the way, there's something in the message that God clicks and the light goes on. You've never failed. You can say, well, he's a good preacher, he's a better preacher, he's the best preacher, he's an excellent preacher, he's not so good, he's bad. But out of every situation, it depends a lot of times on what your attitude is, where you are, what you're looking for, because where two or three are gathered, God said, I'm in the midst of you. So if God is here, God will give us something if we're looking for something. If we're searching for something, God will give it to us. And that's why I say we don't come to be a judge as though the man who's in the pulpit is entertaining us, or that the man in the pulpit is not only entertaining us, but he is trying to lift us up and encourage us. He didn't do such a great job today, or whatever it might be. Oftentimes we go away disappointed because we came not expecting anything from God, and we came not expecting to meet with God, and so we went away the same way we came. Be careful, because the Lord has promised that in his presence there is rest for each of us. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm not going there, but that's where it is. You can read later. Hebrews chapter 4 talked about the Hebrews not being able to enter into God's rest. They were in his presence, but they could not enter into his rest. Here's the pillar of fire by night. Here's the cloud by day over the tabernacle. They were all in the presence of God, but many of them could not rest. They were constantly criticizing, constantly condemning, constantly looking for more and more, and missed the point that they were in the presence of Almighty God, and he could give them rest, but they were not searching for that. That's not what they wanted. They were after material things. They were after other things rather than what God would give with them at the moment, his rest. There is rest. My presence shall go with them, and I will give thee rest. Notice not only his rest, notice his power. The power of his presence. Well, Jesus told his disciples at one time, he said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I am with you always. He said, power has been given unto me, authority given unto me in all the world, and I command you to go. He says, I delegate to you. Go, the power of his presence. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 27, you find this very thing. It says, glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Well, look back at verse 25. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. I went out in the yard the other night. We've been, some of my boys and Clay in particular has been helping, and we've been trimming limbs before the sap rises in those oak trees. And they about worked me to death. You know, I used to work them, and they couldn't keep up with me. Now it's the opposite, and now I find it difficult to keep up with them. So I try to sneak in a break every now and then. But the other night we were out in the yard, and it's just opened up everything. The moon was full, and I walked out on a clear night, and I looked up, and I could see stars. And oh, how pretty they were! Kathy followed me out in the yard. We stood there and gazed at the stars. She said, oh, how pretty they are and how beautiful. I said, you haven't seen anything. I said, in the mountains where there's no light pollution, up in the mountains and at a higher elevation, it looks like that someone took a paintbrush and just splashed the heavens with stars. She said, oh, I'd love to see that. I said, I'm going to take you, baby. We RV people now. We haven't made a trip. It's been parked and stored. I was afraid to get it out because I was afraid that a freeze would come after we, you know, got it out. And it has antifreeze in it now. It's not supposed to freeze. But I was afraid to flush it and go somewhere and then come back and it freeze like we had last week. But I said, we RV people now, baby. I said, I'm going to take you to the mountains. I'm going to let you sit out in the chair or stand out there by the fire pit, and we're going to look at these stars. It's the Milky Way. I didn't realize when I was a kid in Missouri, I used to stand in the front yard and look at the Milky Way. It was a splash across the sky. And as I grew older and moved, I thought, where did that go? It's hard to see now. Light pollution, dust in the atmosphere, all kinds of things. But when you get in the mountains and up higher and where it's so clear and the air is clear and thin, oh my goodness, they stretch out. You can even see satellites going over every now and then. Beautiful. She got a yearning in her soul. I said, well, we're going, baby. We RV people now, and we're going to have our time, I promise you. Power in His presence, glory and honor in His presence, He said. Notice it says, glory and honor are in His presence. Strength, there's power. Strength and gladness are in His place. Glory means grandeur. Glory means an imposing form, an appearance, beauty, excellency, majesty, the glory of God. You see it in the glory of the heavens. You see God's glory, His majesty exemplified. You find the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember when Peter, James, and John went up with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and they were stupefied at the things that they saw. The glory of God came down and He allowed them to see some things that no one else has ever seen. The glory of God, His honor, the magnificence of the Lord, the ornament and splendor, the beauty, the comeliness, the countenance, glory and honor are in His presence. Oh, I have not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for them that love Him. I got to tell you, a lot of the descriptions in the Bible, I think, are just mere kindergarten kids coming up with ideas about God and how He looks and what heaven is like and the descriptions of heaven. I have not seen nor ear heard the splendor here, the honor, the magnificence, the ornaments, the beauty, the comeliness of Almighty God. Glory and honor are in His presence. Ooh. Ooh. The throne of His majesty. When you think about heaven, what do you think? Oh, free from pain. No more death. No more dying. Yes. But heaven is a colorful place. God is a colorful God. All the precious stones He mentions are all beauties that catch the light and reflect the glory, the splendor, the honor of Almighty God. You know, you have diamonds that you can take and look in a light. Boy, you can catch it just right. And you can see the blues, the yellows, the greens. It's amazing how those things are so pretty and so beautiful. I'm sometimes driving down the road, one of my rings that has diamonds in it will catch the light as I'm driving the steering wheel and will reflect off the windshield. And the first thought is not, oh man, I need more diamonds, or I need... No, the first thought is the God's greatness. We once in a while get a glimpse of the glory that is going to be for all eternity, for the honor that's going to be forever and ever, the great majesty of God and all the beauty and all the color that we cannot imagine. Have you ever, let me ask you this, you ever taken a photograph of something and then back when you had to develop it, you know, you got it back and you're looking at the picture and, oh man, Say, I never noticed that being so bright or so colorful or so, detailed, and the picture is beautiful. We just kind of skim over things with our eyes. We see, but we don't see. But in God's beauty, in God's presence, there's the power of His presence, the glory and the honor in His presence. Wonderful things are in store for us in heaven. Not only no death and no crying and no pain, but there's going to be some knock your eye out beauty when you get to heaven. I mean, some things you cannot even imagine. I'm talking about the colors of the rainbows, colors you've never beheld before, the sounds of angels singing in the background. That's beautiful to the ears. Oh my goodness, I can hardly wait. The power of His presence, the rest of His presence, the power of His presence. Number three, the security of His presence. Psalm 31 in verse number 20. Psalm 31, verse 20. Verse 19 and 20, if you would, please. Psalm 31, 19 and 20. We talk about the security of His presence. Boy, when we go to bed at night, don't we make sure the doors are locked right before we go to bed? We check all the locks, make sure the night lights are on, they're working. If you have a security system, you make sure it's functional and it's working. All the security, everything. If you sleep with a gun beside your bed, you know, you make sure it's there. You make sure it's loaded. You make sure all of those things, the dog's where he's supposed to be. And you check and you double check. Security, security, security. God is our security. In the presence of the Lord, there is security. Psalm 31. Verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. The goodness of God is laid up for us that fear Him, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Oh, my goodness. The security of His presence. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Listen, nothing can happen to me or you except God allows it to happen. We're secure. We're safe in the arms. I think there's a song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Something like that. Security. Notice number four, not only do we have security, we're secure. In fact, Jesus said, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man, no man, no man. My Father is greater than I, and no man can pluck them from my Father's hand. Wonderful. Security of His presence, joy in His presence. You find in the 16th Psalm here in verse 11, Psalm 16 and verse 11, He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I'm not sure what all of that means. But if God said it, I believe it. It's got to be great. Notice, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Fullness. I'm going to give you the definition of the word fullness in just a moment. In thy presence is fullness. Fullness of not just joy, not just happiness, not just peace, not just security, not just rest. In thy fullness, in thy presence is fullness of joy. My cup runneth over. My cup is not full. It's satisfying where it is. It helps me clear my throat and speak well. It helps me. It's comforting. It's there, but it's not full. In thy presence is fullness of joy. We have to go. Let me give you this other before I go. We have to go to Ephesians chapter 1 to get the definition for fullness. But remember, in thy presence, in the presence of God, is not just joy. but fullness of joy. Remember that, and we'll come back. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, you find it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all," what? Joy. "The God of hope fill you with joy and peace." If you don't have joy in your life, you know, maybe you ought to ask God, "Hey, fill me with joy, would you? Hey, Lord, help take away the things that are causing me not to be joyous. Help me take away the things in my life that come between me and you where my joy is not full. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to talk about fullness. We look down in chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, in verse number 23. And it says, verse 22, "God hath put all things under his feet," under Jesus' feet, "and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body." The church is his body. "The fullness of him that filleth all in all." Now read it. And God hath, verse 22, "and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." We were talking about a moment ago that God lives with inside of us, no doubt. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. But when we come together as born-again people and assemble to worship Almighty God, he says, "There am I in the midst of you. There am I in power in the midst of you." And here, this is what he's saying. Jesus is the head of the church, and he says, the church is the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In other words, you can be born again, saved, and go to heaven when you die and never go to church. But if you're going to experience the great fullness of his power and the fullness of his presence, you're going to experience the very fullness of his joy and all these other things we talked about, you must be in his presence. And here he tells you that his body is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Look at this cup. Let's say it this way. This is me. This cup is me, and this cup is you. I'm born again. I'm saved. I have the Holy Spirit this much in my life. I mean, that's as much as every other Christian has. This is the Holy Spirit living in me. You can see that. But when we assemble together in the body of Christ and we come together in all of his body and all of his glory, I don't know if I have enough water in this bottle or not. Probably won't show it. When we come together, we began to, in the assembly, he fills us. He is the fullness of all things. Do you see it? We can stay alone at our home and we can worship God and we can sense his presence in a small way. But when we come together, he is the fullness of the body of Christ. He's the fullness that filleth us. So I can have a smidgen on my own at home or on the mountain somewhere, but when I assemble where I'm supposed to be in my local church, my body of Christ, when his presence is here and we have no hindrances, going on, he is the fullness of the body. He is the fullness, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Did the light go on? It should. Because, as I stated, this is the body of Christ now. And he's here in his fullness. Not just in Verl Gunner, partially. I'm part of the body. I'm not the whole body. So when I come, I bring all the Holy Spirit that's given me, but I'm only a part. I'm only a smidgen. And then you show up and this gets better. And then everybody else shows up, and where two or three are gathered together, then we have the fullness of Christ within our body. Hey, if that other crowd was here instead of being off someplace they're not supposed to be, if they were all here today, you'd sense more power than what you have right now. I'm a firm believer of that. When every part of the body is in its place where it's supposed to be, there's a fullness. If I leave my arm at home, I'm handicapped to a certain degree. I can still function, still get along, still do well, still feed myself, still exist, still drive my car. But it works better when I have every part in its place. The church is the same exact way. We can function with only three of us show up. The rest of you yahoos and all the rest of the yahoos and stay home. We can still function as a church. But it works a whole lot better when every part shows up. And there's more fullness of the power of God when everyone are in their place. And everyone, here's another qualifying mark, everyone is right with God. When everyone is right with God and we show up together, there is a power of the presence of Almighty God. A joy in His presence. A fullness of joy in His presence. Number five, he talks about a refreshing in His presence. Acts chapter 3 in verse number 19, you find it, Acts 3:19, and it says literally, Peter and John answered and said, no, that's not it. And let me double check. I'm in chapter 4. I need to be in chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 19, repent ye therefore, be converted. Remember what Jesus told to Simon Peter? Simon said, I never leave you. I never would desert you. I never do anything to hurt you, Lord. I'd die for you. Jesus said, Simon, you know Satan desires to sift you, don't you? And don't you know how dreadful that is? He said, look, you're going to deny me three times. No, Lord, I'd never do that. He said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Does that mean saved, when you get saved? No, he was already saved. But when he got converted, when he was broken and remade and now more useful than he was before, he's converted now. He said, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. The disciples say, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That your sins may be blotted out. The key that we're looking for is the word refreshing. When the times of refreshing, when the times of renewing, I mean when the millennial kingdom comes and Jesus sits on the throne, a renewing of the paradise of God, the curse upon the earth taken away, refreshed, renewed. I mean, when you throw seed in the ground during the 1,000-year reign of Christ and you get watermelons as big as a refrigerator, you know. You get corn on the cob that would feed a whole family for a week. I mean, gigantic, the food, the curse on the earth is taken away. A wonderful thing. No more war, but peace upon the earth for 1,000 years, the times of refreshing. And he said, there is a refreshing in the presence of Almighty God. Revival is like that, a reviving of the spirit that I had when I first got saved. Oh God, I was so happy, so rejoicing. I couldn't wait to share the gospel with people who needed to be born again. I talked about Jesus everywhere I went. A time of refreshing. Refreshing's in His presence. You don't have to go to a revival across town somewhere. You can have that in your own home if you just get it right with the Lord. A refreshing in His presence. There is cheer in His presence. You find in Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, Matthew 14, 27, Jesus came to that ship on the Sea of Galilee. You know, it's been a great privilege of mine to be on that sea in a ship at night, and they cut the engine and let it sit out there and bob, and you could hear the noises of the of the people way a mile or more up on shore as they were just talking. It was amazing. And the lights of the city up on the mountainside, Cana of Galilee, you could see the lights coming on from the sea. A little breeze there. It was amazing. It was most enjoyable. But you find here that the storm has come and the disciples are in the ship and Jesus has come walking on the water to them. In verse number 27, he says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." When Jesus is in our presence, there is a cheer. There is a peace. There is a happiness. Be of good cheer. In the storms of life, be of good cheer. In the problems and difficulties, be of good cheer. You know, when things are going bad and wrong, stop, take a deep breath. Think about it. Jesus is with you. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I love it. Be not afraid. Last thing that we see is that there is a permanence in His presence. A permanence in His presence. There's several places I could go with that. The 140th Psalm and verse 13, I believe. The 140th Psalm, verse 13 says this, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." Period. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Revelation 21 says it also, basically. I didn't intend to read it, but I shall. Revelation chapter 21 in verse 1. "I saw a new heaven, a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Tabernacle, a dwelling place. Dwelling place. "The dwelling place of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Listen. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Verse 8 says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." A permanence in His presence. "The upright shall dwell in thy presence." A permanence in His presence. God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be their God in His presence. There's a permanence in the presence of God. Have you ever tried to think about what God might have been doing in eternity past when there was just God? It blows your mind. God's been forever. What was He doing? I have no clue. He created man. And He said it's not good that man should dwell alone. He created woman to be with man. And God, the great amazing thing is that God created us in His image and likeness, and we're a fallen creatures, we're a sinful crowd, we're a wicked bunch, we have a dark side, but we also have a light that comes from God. We've been born again. We have God's nature, and we know how to love God as He loves us. And he said, I will be with them forever and ever and ever. How long is that? It doesn't end. I can't grasp that. I know you can't. Neither can I. But it's going to be marvelous. Woo! Our 75 years here on earth, 78. One of my best friends passed away. He was 77. We are born into this world and we die and we leave this world. And our 80 years, or if we were to make it to 100, our 100 years are nothing but a splash, a small ripple in the pond, a ripple in the ocean compared to eternity with Almighty God. It's hard to grasp, isn't it? But the reality of it all, God designed it that way because God wants to be in our presence. We oftentimes cry out and say, God, I just want to be in your presence. Hey, you don't want to be in God's presence more than he wants to be in your presence. The reality of it. But sin hampers and hinders us from fellowshipping with Almighty God. We confess it, stay right with God, and his fellowship is wonderful and great. Let's stand and be dismissed tonight. Thank you. The presence of Almighty God. Think about the local church and the body, the fullness of him in all of his fullness and greatness in the body. There it is. But we're about to go home, and we're going to take him with us.